the Clemson Dubcast. It is Friday, May the 10th. At TigerIllustrated.com right now, Paul Strelo managed to get a hold of one TJ Moore as he hits the road in Florida on the way to Clemson. Great get there by Mr. Strelo securing that interview. And boy, is it going to be fun watching Moore this season and beyond. My good friends Blake Smith and Brooke Archenhold have been part of the podcast since the beginning, way back in August of 2018. They have an accomplished team of personal injury attorneys at Parm Smith and Archenhold based in Greenville. They are Clemson people, and their skillful attorneys have decades of experience in complicated litigation matters, taking a special interest in medical malpractice, nursing home abuse, and neglect car accident cases that have left the individuals involved in serious trouble. For a free consultation at Parm Smith and Archenhold, call 864-990-4581 or online at parhamlaw.com. That's parhamlaw.com. Solero Communications, formerly known as Tandem Payment, is a full-service integrated electronic payments provider powered by leading-edge technology. Solero provides a wide array of merchant solutions, simplified payments. They make onboarding, taking payments, maintaining risk management and compliance, and getting support quick and easy. At Solero, they're all about helping you achieve sustainable growth as a business. Taking payments isn't the only thing your business needs. With Solero's solutions, you can manage inventory, sell products and services via social media, schedule staff, track sales, get reports, and much, much more. Find out more about Solero at solerocommerce.com. That's CELERO commerce.com. When you're ready for a complete renovation in your home or business, open the door to more with Harris Home and Harris Commercial. Their local experienced team will totally transform any room space, from beautiful floor coverings to construction to finished details. Harris handles every step of your renovation process, whether it's a kitchen or living room or an industrial or educational setting, like some of the positively stunning work they've done at Clemson University. Go to discoverharris.com and experience a total renovation transformation from Harris Home and Harris Commercial. Okay, earlier today, I wrote a column on Brad Brownell's visit with the media 2 days ago. It was very interesting, I thought, because Brownell, whose back was really against the wall heading into the NCAA tournament, now he has some skins on that wall, some fresh skins, 3 of them, big-time skins. And I think he used this press conference as a chance to sort of whip out some of the receipts he's been keeping, which he's well within his right to do. So anyway, figured we would provide the full uncut press conference audio from Brad Brownell this past Wednesday. Enjoy. Here we go.
Yeah. First thing about today, great day for the athletic department. We had our graduation ceremony, and certainly proud of the guys that they graduated. PJ and Josh Beadle got their undergrads or are getting their undergrads here soon. And let's see, Chase and Joe and Alex. I think there's one more. Yeah, Boz. Thank you. Boz are all getting their master's degrees, which is really good. Jack Clark, I think, got a certificate. So good day for that in terms of celebrating those accomplishments. Proud of our team. Again, terrific academic year for us in terms of guys graduating, GPAs, GSR numbers, all those things. And I think the athletic department, in fact, has 97% graduation rate, which is first in public schools in the country, which is remarkable, but, you know, our folks do such a good job over there in Neary that they are to be commended. You know, more important, I think it speaks to the culture of Clemson, which is just an outstanding place to go to school and get an education. We're about the right things here, and certainly our basketball program is part of that. And in this crazy world with everything we got going on, it's still the value of an education is what this is about, and we need to make sure that we are celebrating those victories. So really proud of our guys for that. Elite Eight run was fantastic. Just, you know, so proud of our players. We played really high-level basketball in the tournament, all 3 games. Beat some outstanding teams, teams that were playing very well, you know, and had a chance to go to the Final Four and had the lead in the game, and give Alabama a ton of credit. They just, the shot making in the game was outstanding, especially there was a point there in the second half where both teams were just really playing exceptionally well, and give their team credit for making a couple of big-time shots to pull away from us in the end. But I'm just really happy for our players, obviously PJ in particular, because of just the way he's approached it all and all he's had to go through. Chase Hunter, another guy, those guys that have been with me so long, and obviously we're on last year's team that was left out. Chase just was outstanding in the tournament, played as well as he's ever played at Clemson, and just super happy for him. And then Joe Girard and Jack Clark, guys like that that transferred in with the idea that this was going to be a special year and that those guys were going to help us do that, and for them to be able to experience that was just a lot of fun. So, you know, I'm happy there's a ton of positive momentum with our program. It started last year with the team that won 14 ACC games and Hunter Tyson's leadership. I think that had a big – gave this team a big boost of confidence and, you know, carried on through this season. So just really happy for our fan base, too, to be able to enjoy that couple of weeks. It was awesome just to look back and see everybody celebrating back here. You know, really our heads were down. We were so daggum busy that it was hard to almost enjoy it at times. You just were working so hard, and even now still haven't been able to pay possibly enjoy it as much as I would like, but just tremendous accomplishments. I saw from Ben said that there's only 24 schools that have been to a Sweet 16 and an Elite Eight in the last, whatever, since 2018, whatever that is, 6 or 7 years, and we're one of them. So I think that, you know, somehow there's a narrative that needs to change a little bit with our program. We've done well. We've been talking about being top five in the league in wins over a seven-year period here now. Like, it started at, like, 5 years, and it's 6 years, 7 years. Like, we are winning consistently. And we've now had, you know, some tournament success to go with it. And so I do think that needs to be talked about a little bit more. And so I'm really proud of our players. I'm proud of my coaching staff for the job they did. Those guys, the last 2 years, they've had their backs against the wall and have just done an unbelievable job of staying focused and motivated and coaching at a high level and pouring into our players. And obviously we've had a lot of success here recently, so we're excited about that, but I'm happy for my staff too. So with that, any questions for me?
I guess you talk about not being able to enjoy it enough. I think I've heard lots of coaches saying that April's just the worst month for you guys. What has it been like just kind of diving into the portal and trying to rebuild your team?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. You know, you have to meet with your team. Obviously, you get behind because you play so long, and the portal opens, you know, 2 weeks earlier. So you're behind. And it's, you know, while we tried to have one eye on the portal occasionally and still coaching our team, you know, for the most part, I kept both eyes on our team and the tournament. And, you know, it just makes it really hard because then you've got to kind of give everybody a week to take a break, and then which is much deserved, and then you start having, you know, player meetings, and then so you got to delve into all that, and then there's a lot that goes into all of those meetings, and there's more discussions with families and players, and you know, so it hasn't let up. You know, you're gonna lose some guys, you're gonna be down some numbers, and you're trying to do a good job of researching the guys that you need to research that you want to add to your program. And you got to do a lot of work to do that. And so it's just constant phone calls and, you know, Zooms and meetings with people, and then trying to get into situations where you feel good enough about somebody to bring them on campus, give them an offer and go from there. So it's, you know, we still need to add one or two more. So we're, you know, I don't even know what day it is. May 9th, 8th, 8th. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of been head down and working most, you know, 6.5 days a week.
Was RJ surprising?
A little, yes. I'm not going to get into specifics with kids leaving. Just not going to do that. You know, all the guys, there's different circumstances with everybody. You know, I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to coach him and all the guys. He's a terrific young man, and wish all our guys the best. And you know, but yeah, you're obviously surprised by some more than others.
How much has the profile and the Elite Eight and all that helped with those conversations that you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's helped. It's helped some. There's no question that it's helped with you know, recent success. Teams are more familiar with you from the standpoint of, hey, yeah, we watched you play. And it's not the be-all, end-all, though. You know, it doesn't – everybody's going to study their situation, and there's so many factors involved in transfers. Winning is part of it. Playing time, NIL, you know, facilities, just, you know, chance to play at the next level. Academics gets in there eventually, you know, depending on the age of the kid. But it certainly has helped. You know, we've had a lot of positive feedback and people that have followed us. And when you start to dig in and when you have Zoom conversations with folks and you start putting recent success slides up there and you start matching it with some other people, you know, folks are surprised, you know, that we've done as well as we have. When you start adding the wins and now you put a Sweet 16 in an Elite Eight, and another tournament run just in the last 7 years. I mean, it's, you know, it's – you're starting to separate yourself from a lot of folks and people that you would be surprised.
Were you surprised by that lack of awareness or recognition? Because to say, like, the fan base doesn't recognize it, but to see it amongst other teams and players and – athletes and things like that?
No, this year's Elite Eight run puts us in another category. I mean, it changes the narrative. I mean, a Sweet 16 and an Elite, two Sweet 16s, an Elite Eight and a Sweet 16, however, you know, whatever, just getting to those points, you know, hasn't been done at Clemson much at all. And to do it in this, you know, close enough, in this 6 or 7 year period to do it, you start to separate a lot of schools out. There's only 24, you know, five, I think, in our league. So that, with the consistency of regular season winning in the league, I think that's the one that people haven't paid much attention to. And there's a lot of teams that have a good year and then have a terrible year. And we just haven't had those years, knock wood. We haven't always had the – we haven't won a league yet. You know, that's still a goal. Certainly an ACC tournament, we have to do better. That's on me. You know, but I mentioned, I don't know if it was last year or a couple years ago, I talked about taking Clemson to a Final Four, and that was my goal. And we were, you know, minutes from it this year. In 2018, if we don't lose Dante Grantham, I think that team might be more – talented than the team that we just had when they were healthy. Both teams could easily get there. Sometimes getting to the tournament can even prove to be more difficult than advancing. And there's a lot of things that can go into that. But, you know, if you start to play really well, which we did, you know, you build the momentum in basketball and it really changes. And, you know, what was so impressive about our run is the teams we beat. I mean, we beat the Mountain West champion who, I mean, we were number one on ESPN's list for upset in the NCAA tournament. And I don't, you know, there were some articles that were written from the folks in this room that weren't very flattering. There was a lot of people in this room were questioning us, you know, which fine. And, you know, we won that game handily and then beat Baylor, who was the 3 seed, you know, beat Arizona in the West. I mean, in Los Angeles in front of about 15,000 Arizona fans. I mean, those are big, big-time wins now. So I'm just so proud of our players for playing as well as they did in the period they did. And for our whole school and fan base to be able to enjoy that was, you know, It was a lot of fun for all of us.
When Joseph Girard visited on campus last season, to talk about how the camaraderie Dylan handled,
yeah,
and spend time with players and everything with Jaden and Victor, was that kind of similar, or was that kind of different with PJ and Chase?
Yeah, I think it was. Victor was different. I think some of with Joe was just Joe having been in the league. I think Jaden, there was a respect with the league that helped, certainly in a familiarity. So I think that there's a natural, you know, probably respect and kinship from having competed against each other. You know, I told Jaden, don't be gloating when you come down here, because they pounded us good. You know, but he was great, and you know, we're excited for both those guys. Jaden and Victor, I think, are both good players that are going to have immediate impacts on our team. You know, we need to get one more front court guy for sure that can do that. But we like both guys. They're experienced. They're both very competitive, and so they bring some toughness and some competitiveness that I think this team needs, losing PJ and Joe.
I guess going back to April, you talked about maybe moving the window back for you guys that are in the tournament. Are there any other things as coaches that you think can be done to make this month more manageable for that month?
Not the way it is now, no. I mean, the length of it, you know, by going all the way to May, I mean, it's to shorten it. I don't think the portal needs to be as long as it is. I think kids know. And so now you're dragging it all out. It lasts longer. You're waiting. Then you get more coaches get surprised. You know, we really didn't, knock wood, we didn't have any surprises at the, you know, the last 2-3 days of the portal. That's happened to a lot of people. That part, you know, the portal just doesn't need to be this open that long. That would shorten some of this. You know, it's crazy because we made the decision to move the high school recruiting out of April and into May. I think it's May 17th or whatever. That's 2 weeks, or maybe it's not. It's next week. Good Lord. But I mean, like, there are very few coaches right now thinking about high school recruits, and like that would have all been going on while we're all dealing with the portal and. That was a mess. It's been a mess for a couple of years. We finally got that move back, which will be better for everybody's focus on high school kids. But it's still too long, and it doesn't need to be 45 days. 30 days would be more than enough.
You mentioned NIL, and I don't know if you've really fully sort of reflected on the importance of that to you guys, using that not just now but in previous years as part of your toolbox.
It's everybody's toolbox in men's basketball. I mean, and it's not just men's basketball, it's other sports too now.
Yeah, I'm just talking specific to this program, yeah. And how you guys have been able to use it to your advantage.
Yeah, I think in our sport, if you're not involved in that and you're not fundraising, I'm doing a ton of fundraising, folks, and I have been for 14 years. One of the reasons why we were in the Elite Eight is because of all the fundraising, friend raising, whatever you want to call it, for 14 years. It's one of the reasons why we have a facility that's much nicer than it was. It's filling those premium seats. It doesn't just happen with NIL. It happens with improving your facilities. It happens with donor retention. It happens with getting folks to buy into your program enough that when this was new, that our people were involved and engaged to be able to support the guys on our team. To be able to be ready for this opportunity when it did show up, we were there to meet it. And, you know, I do deserve a lot of credit for that, a lot, because it's been a 14-year journey. And had we had a different coach or a newer young coach at the time, it wouldn't happen. There'd have been no chance. So, you know. That's obviously been a spot of mine, a little bit of a sore spot at times, because I think that's gone not as noticed as I would like. And obviously it's vital. I mean, in college basketball right now, NIL is a major factor in it.
How much do you have to tell them, like, what the number
is? No, I don't get into all the specifics of that. There are rules that are involved with the collective and those kinds of things. But it's very involved as part of the – it's a tool that folks have to have to be successful. It's certainly something that folks are using to make decisions. I think, guys, I think there's a mistake here because maybe football doesn't come out this way with Coach Sweeney. There's some things going on with football that guys are getting NIL. The basketball thing that I can tell you is that any program at this level has got to have an NIL package for their players, or you can't be successful. And so it's not just specific for Clemson. We're doing our part to try to do the best we can to make sure that our players are treated as well as they can be, as also. Obviously, there are limits in all of it. Like, there certainly are a lot of folks that are it's not hard to figure out who's some of the schools that are spending the most. You can easily see, and I mean, it's just not hard to figure that out if you study our sport.
How daunting is it dealing with all of these, with the transfer portal, with the potential high school recruiting, with the
It's really hard. It's hard. Like, very hard. Roster management is extremely challenging. It has been for a couple years. Again, the most difficult part of all of this isn't the NIL as much as it is the there's no sit out. When you transfer and you can just go play, then there's no deterrence, right? And so if everything isn't aligned, or if there can be one thing that makes somebody unhappy, they're going to leave. And so that's a shame, because we're losing what we all want, which is fans want to see kids get better and develop, and they enjoy watching Hunter Tysons and PJ Halls grow as a player. I enjoy coaching young men and helping them develop both on and off the floor, building, you know, long-lasting, you know, deep relationships through adversity and the challenges that go with being a young player to a senior. Doesn't mean you still don't enjoy all of our transfers. We've had a lot of transfers here that have done very well, and I'm thankful for all of them and have long-lasting relationships with them. But you do miss that part of college sports, because there just aren't going to be – you know, the senior nights are getting different. You're not going to see as many kids that are in your program for 4 years graduate, and that's sad. So understanding that, trying to plan, it's extremely hard to plan. What's our team going to look like in 25? You know, what will our needs look like? Because it's almost 100% that somebody's going to surprise you and leave. And that part is makes it really hard.
You mentioned before talking about, like, the inevitability of losing those numbers or losing people out of transfer portal as well as graduation. What can you speak on some of, like, the increased roles that you see from players like Dylan Hunter? And
yeah. Yeah, no, obviously there's great opportunity for guys that are here. Chauncey Wiggins, you know, I think has a chance to take a major step. I thought he took a good step this year. I thought he had a good year. He had a good sophomore year. He made some big strides as a player, started to get his back-to-the-basket game going, made some big shots in games, started some games. I'm really proud of him. I think he's going to be a great player for us. Obviously, Ian Shefflin's development was – unbelievably fun to watch, you know, I think a lot of our fan base was surprised by some of that. I don't think the coaches were as much, but I think he can take another step as a player, and you know, that's fun for us to try to help those guys do that. Like, you want to get in the gym with them and work and help them take bigger roles. Dylan Hunter is going to have a chance to get better this year. He knows our system and, you know, compete and earn more minutes. You know, Jake Heidbritter and Asa Thomas, two guys that have – Asa's been hurt a little bit, but really pleased with his work in the weight room. His legs have gotten bigger and stronger. I think he's got good swagger. I think he's going to be a good player. He reminds me of Hunter Tyson as a young guy. You know, he's still probably a couple years away from being a really, really good player, but I just like his demeanor. Jake just is a worker. He's just unbelievably quiet about what he does, but, man, he's in there every day lifting and shooting, and he's going to be hungry because he didn't get to be on this – on the court with this team, and so there'll be a hunger there. I think that's – you know, that's something that we're going to have to really work at with the team is when you've had a big year like this and you have some guys that come back, challenging them to still be as hungry as they need to be to maintain this level of success. Is not easy.
Brad, I feel like really appreciated your honesty and mm-hmm. you taking some of this credit that I think you've earned. I feel like maybe we should be really blunt. When you're talking NIL and you're talking facilities and you're talking expectations, we're essentially saying, fans, if you want this to be the regular occasion, you kind of have to put your money where your mouth is. That NIL, those collectives, those happen.
Everything's important. I've said, you know, you have to have a complete program. You have to have tremendous support from everybody to be good consistently. You can have a good team, but it's hard to be consistently good unless you have support all the way down, you know, and your university is committed to their product and their players and their staff. And I think, it's no surprise that our success is improved tremendously when we got in this facility. I mean, there's 100% change in people's attitudes when they visited campus on the commitment Clemson was making to basketball. And so now you bring kids through this building and they're impressed. You know, I've said this before that usually when I ask kids who visit, well, what'd you think? The answer is always better than I expected, right? Which is great to hear. But it's also like, well, what was your expectation, right? Like, I mean, why would you not expect it to be good, right? Like, it's that football mentality that everybody has and schools use against us that unless you come over here and actually see it, you don't know what it is. But it's really good, and we have really good facilities, and we have good support, and we have a good fan base. We have a fan base that cares. And when you do dig into it, and people listen with an open mind and get to see things, then, you know, it's changed our recruiting. We've gotten better players. And obviously when you get better players, you have a better chance to win. And so there's no question that that's helped us tremendously, but it's you got to consistently stay with it to try to be good.
Do you think teams that are built around senior leadership or leadership that's built within the program fare better in the tournament than teams that are built on one and
dones? I do think experience can matter. I think player-led teams are better than coach-driven teams. You know, and so if you have strong leadership from your players, I don't know that necessarily matters what age they are. It plays a huge factor, and I think there's probably less kids that are as excited about being a leader now. There are probably – it feels like there are maybe a little bit less natural leaders now than maybe in the past. You know, and sometimes it takes years to develop leaders through your program, both with us and with help from folks across campus and our sports psychologists pouring into kids to make them more comfortable. PJ's a great example of that. It wasn't natural for PJ, as good a player as he was. This was a hard year for him to be the vocal guy. Like Chase is not, it's not natural for Chase Hunter to be a vocal guy. They both would rather lead by example, which is fine to a degree. But I think there are times when, you know, your players need to really take steps forward, and that's one of the things that helped us after the ACC tournament is I was really, you know, I was went after my team a little bit and was really disappointed in them, and they responded, and then they responded amongst themselves. And I think that's what helped spur our run. Yeah, I think just – I don't know if it always matters what year you are, but I do think being an older player and having more life experiences sometimes can help.
When you think of this team, when you look back on this season specifically, what do you hope you still remember or hold on to in
10, 15? Yeah, just – I mean, just all the feelings you had celebrating with the kids, with your guys – the folks that traveled with us to L.A. and to Memphis, going into, you know, hotel lobbies and just seeing all different kinds of people that traveled to support us. You know, when we beat Arizona and I think it was Chase was running over to the fan base and you're just kind of like he's stealing the ball and kind of it just like, you know, obviously just the hugs and special moments you have with kids and those are different types of things that you don't experience in anything else really or rarely do in any other occupation, right? And so your highs are really high as a coach, your lows are really low. And you know, when you get one of those highs, it's unbelievable. And everybody drops their guard a little bit and we become way more human and you know, and that is a good thing for all of us. I wish we could do that a little more often in other situations.
Upstate Foodies. Want to take a moment to talk to you about our favorite taco spot, Willie Taco. 5 locations across the upstate. This award-winning team has been serving up fresh taco fusion for a solid decade now. The chefs at Willie Taco utilize the freshest, most creative, and sometimes unexpected ingredients in their kitchens. Come see why Southern Living, Garden and Gun, and Food and Wine Magazine are raving about Willie Taco and their signature offerings, such as their Southern Tide, Crispy Avocado, Nashville Hot Chicken Tacos, literally flavors you will not find anywhere else, folks. And don't forget about the cocktails, super fresh margaritas, ice cold cerveza, and over 80 tequilas served up daily from behind the bar. So don't wait, folks. Your Willie Taco Familia is ready to serve you up their twist on funky fresh fusion. It's the Willie way. Want to share a quick word about Founders Federal Credit Union? If you've been to a sporting event in Clemson, you've probably heard about Founders already. They are the official credit union partner of the Clemson Tigers. In addition to that, all Clemson faculty, staff, and students are eligible for membership as well as IPTA members. Its office is located beside the Walmart Neighborhood Market on Old Greenville Highway in Clemson. For more information, go to foundersfcu.com. Another loyal supporter of the Dubcast is Blackacre Law Firm in Greenville, a subsidiary of Parham Smith & Archenthold. Blackacre helps South Carolina residents achieve their dreams of home ownership by providing experienced, professional representation for real estate closings. Attention to detail is crucial in real estate law. Blackacre is committed to making sure nothing gets by them preparing residential or commercial closings. Blackacre also offers estate planning services for their clients in the Greenville area. Find out more about Blackacre at 864-326-3507.
You look at a guy like Victor Lockin. Seems like he shot more threes last year, but it's not exactly proficient at it yet. Is he more of a guy that's very post-centric?
No, I think he'll play all over the floor. Obviously, we have to help coach guys get better. But we like Victor's ability to play inside and out. You know, our offense the last couple of years has been a lot more of the high-low. We've kind of made some changes there a couple of years ago to really accentuate our players. We just felt like it fit, you know, Ian and PJ especially, and then RJ was kind of a beneficiary this year. You know, he'll fit into that. He'll be able to play both spots and do some different things that way. I would expect him to shoot some threes for sure and make threes and stretch the defense, which is important. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'd love to hear a little bit about what PJ has meant to the program and what it would mean to you and to the program to see him selected in the draft.
I've talked about it a million times. He's one of my most special recruits. as much anything because he was a top player in the state that stayed home. And there have been some other times I've tried to recruit those guys and recruited them for 2 and 3 years and gotten turned down at the end. And PJ decided that this is where he wanted to be. And not just that decision, but his decision to stay with us for 4 years. He was a very sought-after player, and, you know, the transfer window was open, and he could have gone again if he wanted to. But, you know, I'm extremely thankful for that. I'm thankful for the way he allowed me to coach him. You know, he allowed me to coach him in a way that I thought made him better. And his carefree, caring personality, I mean, I don't know if I've ever had a player as good as he is who cared so much about the team and other players. Remarkable young man that way. Parents deserve so much credit for the way they've raised him and you know, for the way that he genuinely cares about other folks and our program and our fan base. And I think he had a hard time at times this year because I think he was playing under pressure because he wanted to do something special for Clemson during his time here. And what's remarkable is his numbers are remarkable considering the injuries and the playing hurt, missing some games. His stats are unbelievable. So, you know, to watch his name get called I'll be so happy for him. Because I know how hard he's worked at it, and it's something that he's dreamed of for a long time. But the great thing about PJ is that won't define him. He'll be much more about all the other things, and he'll remain humble either way and hardworking, and he's going to have a great life. So, you know, he'll continue to pour into our program and our people, and he'll be an unbelievable ambassador for our university. So it's just a blessing to be able to get to coach a guy like that. A little. I mean, I'm optimistic Chase will come back. You know, he worked out for an NBA team this week. Excited for him to get to do some of those things. You know, I was so happy to watch him play at the level that he did in the NCAA tournament. He was tremendous. You know, obviously he was upset after the ACC tournament. We've talked about that, the way he bounced back, just, you know, super happy for him and excited to see what his future, you know, has. In terms of what that means, you know, I don't know. We feel like we have a lot of perimeter players, so we're really looking more for front court help. And you just never know how it's all going to play out because portal recruiting is not really – an exact science. You're just getting involved with a lot of players and doing your homework, and then, you know, sometimes you get further into it with a guy than somebody else. But you're trying to match guys with the guys you have, with who you might get. It looks like we're getting somebody, and then you don't get that guy, and then, I mean, it's just like you're pieces to the puzzle. You're just constantly working it as a coach. And I think when you have more options and versatility in your lineup to play different ways, it makes you a better coach. You know, I can always change how we do some things to fit my personnel. And so we try to be a little different and not quite as cookie cutter in our approach of personnel. Yeah, you know, that's a great question. It is a great question. We will never know because they didn't get the chance. Yeah, they did. Yeah, it's interesting how that's an interesting. That team was good enough, obviously, if they, you know, got into the tournament, especially if they won the first game, just like we did, to keep winning. It would not have surprised me if they won, you know, won two or three games and we got in the tournament. But, you know, unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I'm proud of that team, and I'm proud of those guys and Hunter Tyson. There's no question that that team having that kind of success, Hunter Tyson being the leader that he was, had an unbelievable effect on PJ Hall and Chase Hunter. No question. Like, those guys were both better this year as players and leaders and believers because of having played with that guy and watching what he did his senior year. It had an effect on those guys and our team.
Have you ever had a season personally like this season, this past season, so many highs,
and,
you know, it's just
so much a roller coaster? Yeah, I mean, you have that in a lot of seasons. You know, I think the thing that is so hard, and it's hard for some folks to understand, basketball is a different game. I mean, it's just a different game, and it momentum and how guys are playing, and, you know, you have a bad week in basketball, it can affect you for three games, right? And you have the games come so quickly that sometimes the emotional drain of a game in one game affects you the next time. And that's why it's so hard to do what, like, a team like UConn has done, where you win at that level with just rarely losing. I mean, obviously their talent was, I mean, they're crazy talented, but the focus and the drive, you know, it's hard. And so, we got off to such a great start. We were riding the wave of emotion and positivity, and then we lost a bunch of games in January. And some games we played poorly, Virginia Tech and Miami, second half Miami and most of Virginia Tech. And some games we didn't play as bad, but we just didn't win. And so it was hard to see. Like, I knew going into the tournament we weren't playing as poorly as everybody on the outside thought it was. I knew we'd gotten kicked in the mouth by Boston College, and that did surprise me. I did not think that was going to happen. I thought we were ready to play, and that shocked me. But once we got back here and we practiced a couple times and got ourselves ready and then got new life with the energy of the tournament, I knew that we would have another gear and another jolt. You know, it's almost like there was so much pressure to get to the tournament. We got to get to the tournament. We all knew that. So you come out gangbusters, and then you have a lull a little bit, and it's like, we got to get through this to get to the tournament. Once we get to the tournament, you know, what I didn't do a good enough job, and I thought, but the ACC tournament, how special that is, and for us to not play there really bothered me. And that's why I was so hard on my team afterwards, is like, it's like they treated that like it wasn't a big enough deal, and I don't understand that. So we had a difficult couple of days based on that. But I do feel like there sometimes gets a point, you know, especially when you kind of know, like, okay, we're not going to win the regular season. But as long as we don't fall apart, we probably have a chance to make the NCAA tournament. You know, and that's not easy, and it's not – I think that's human nature, you fight. But my point to that was once we got in the tournament, I just think there was like – it was like new life in our team. It was almost like beginning of the season again, and it was like guys just wanted to prove everybody wrong. And obviously when nobody was picking us to win, I think that was a little extra motivation. And we got back and got a little extra bounce in our step. And it's just, you play well and win a game, and it just sends you in a good path.
You mentioned the ACC tournament as special just now. Just what would it mean to you just to win win an ACC tournament.
Yeah, I got to get to a finals. We haven't gotten to a finals. I haven't done well in that. You know, it feels like we get to semis a couple times, but haven't been able to get over the hump. Got to do better. Yeah, I mean, obviously it'd be special. You know, we've never won this at Clemson, and you know, I got to get us a chance to try to get us an opportunity to do that.
You talk about Boston College. Jaden Zachary had some good games against you guys.
Yeah,
is that part of it that you remember?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You just Jaden is a competitive guy, you know, and he's kind of one of those guys that seems to do what his team needs him to do to win. You know, whether that's defend a really good player, whether that's score a little bit more, whether that's assist a little more, whether it's, you know, take a big shot. He's just one of those competitive guys that gets a lot out of himself and plays with confidence and has a tremendous competitive spirit that I'm hopeful will, you know, continue to have an impact on other guys on our team, especially some of our young guys.
Any more questions for Coach?
Can you talk about Chauncey Wiggins is a guy who can really improve. What specifically do you want to see him get better at?
Yeah, just continue to get involved even more around the paint. He's got to rebound the ball better, continue to attack the basket. But he made strides. You know, he made strides in that way, and we started to post him more and run some action for him you know, it's just sometimes when guys are so big athletically that you want all these things, and he was playing with a lot of other good players, right? I think one of the things that's challenging is when you're a young player on a really good team with older players, like the older players are going to be the guys that, you know, the Joe Girards, the Chase Hunters, the PJ Halls, they're going to be the primary weapons. You know, what our team needed last year was more rebounding and defense because we had a 1,500-point score, 2,000-point score, 1,000-point score. And so while I think Chauncey probably would have scored more points than Jack if he'd have played the same amount of minutes, Jack was a little better defender and rebounder and older. And so Jack got more of the minutes there for a while. But Chauncey's more than ready to take the next step, and next year we're going to need scoring. And so he needs to be a 12-point, 14-point scorer for us, and he's going to have a ton of opportunities to get shots, and we're going to run a lot of plays for him. And, you know, that kind of excitement hopefully will motivate him to have a great offseason. And I'm excited for him. I think it's, you know, it's a fun time for a young man like that you've been working with, and he should be the next guy that kind of takes another big step for us.
Is that the similar thought process with Ian as well? Ian
kind of did it this way this year. A lot of it through his own rebounding, and some of our posting and our offensive style helped Ian this year, which we knew it would as a bigger, stronger, older player. But I do think his game – I mean, we need his game to expand. He needs to be making more threes. He needs to be shooting more threes. He needs to be driving the ball. You know, we lose a lot of scoring and shooting with Girard and PJ. And so, you know, somebody's going to get those shots. There's a lot of shots left for other players. And, you know, the guys that have great off seasons and continue to work to improve, it's natural that those older guys would be the guys that would take the next steps and get those opportunities.
It's just, have you had any discussions with administration about an extension? And do you feel like you need that?
Yeah, we're in talks. So, yeah, we're currently in talks and excited about that and hope to get something done quickly. There's been a lot going on both sides over the course of last 2 months, maybe last month.
Anything else for Coach? From anybody?
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah. Good to be with you again. Been a while.
Interesting stuff there for Brad Brownell, who is almost certainly headed toward an extension, a well-deserved one, as he starts preparations for his 15th season at Clemson. Appreciate the support of our sponsors for continuing to help make this happen. And, of course, thanks to every single one of you for hitting that play button. Really appreciate it. Cheers.